grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength, pilot us, and by your power, preserve us. By your wisdom, instruct us, and by your hand, protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The first reading is a reading from Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall you proud waves be stopped. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 107 responsively. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for God's mercy endures forever. Gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some went down to the sea in ships, plying their trade in deep waters.
They beheld the works of the Lord, God's wonderful works in the deep.
Then God spoke.
Mounted up to the heavens and descended to the depths. Their souls melted away in their peril.
They
in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, and you delivered them from their distress.
Then
were they glad when it grew calm, when you guided them to the harbor they desired.
Let them
exalt you in the assembly of people, in the council of the elders. Let them sing Alleluia. Glory to the Father. Amen. The second reading is a reading from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now it is the acceptable time. See, now it is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way. Through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. With the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. In honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true. As unknown, and yet are well known. As dying, and see, we are alive. As punished, and yet not killed. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children, open wide your hearts also. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in a boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Then the wind ceased. And there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why were you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O
Christ. Last week I talked about parables and how parables are like a narrative time bomb, that unless you diffuse it, the parables will indeed confront you with the truth. Often a truth that is difficult to hear, a truth that invites you to be a part of God's upside down kingdom, to be a part of that in some ways that is even uncomfortable. And very related to parables are miracles. The miracles illustrate the parables, and the parables explain the miracles. They help us understand each other. This set, last week's parable and this week's miracle, is a good example of that connection. So last week we heard this parable of the growing seed, and that's often called a parable of absence. The farmer leaves the seed and he goes off only to rise and to go to sleep day after day, and he doesn't intervene again until it's the right time, the time when the grain is ripe for the harvest. In this week's gospel, Jesus acts out that parable. He has sown the seeds of faith in the disciples. And now he gets into a boat with them, and just like in the parable, he goes to sleep. His sleep, just like the farmer's, is a sleep of trust, a sign of trust. And while Jesus sleeps and trusts, a storm breaks out, and the disciples go into a panic. Now, that's not really too surprising. Panic sets in whenever we find ourselves in places of turmoil or peril. Now, maybe panic is too strong a word, but I will confess that I worry and sometimes have sleepless nights. Do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and find yourself unable to fall back asleep because the cares and the concerns of the next day just won't let you sleep? We find it difficult to be like the farmer in the parable who goes to bed and just trusts while the seed is growing. Or to be like Jesus, who in the middle of a storm is just sleeping right through it. We want to solve our problems. We want to solve our worries. We want to figure out what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. And we want it done right now. We want God to do something about the things that are keeping us awake in the middle of the night. While the disciples are struggling to keep the boat afloat, Jesus is snoring in the back. It seems like that even made their situation more desperate. Apparently, he has forgotten all about them. He doesn't care if the boat sinks or floats. Talk about a parable or a miracle of absence. It's like Jesus isn't even in this story. So the absent Jesus is now with them when they wake him up. And he rebukes the wind and the sea, and the storm stops. A moment before, the disciples were in fear and in awe of this terrible storm, and now they're in fear and awe at this majestic presence of God, asking, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" We heard in that reading from Job, God asking Job, "Do you know how the wind and the sea take on their power? Did you have anything to do with that?" And we know the answer is only God controls the wind and the sea. And the disciples are asking, "Who is this that the wind and the sea?" The answer is in their question. It must be Jesus. It must be the Holy One of God. Jesus quiets the wind with just a word, a single word, peace. And even the elements of nature obey their teacher. What was once terrifying has now been put aside, and the disciples experience another kind of awe, another kind of fear, the fear or awe of being in the presence of God. Two kinds of fear. One, the kind of fear that's brought on by some known or unknown threat. And then the other kind is the fear of awe, that we often call awe, reverence, in the face of the experience of God. All right, we'll see who responds to that call. We tend to defuse the power of parables by wanting to take just the simple meaning and then avoiding the meaning that would take control from us. And we, just like we do that in the parables, we want to do that to the miracles too. We want to tame this holy word because we are not comfortable with miracles. One commentator wrote, people fear miracles because they fear being changed. We don't like change. The only one that likes change is the baby in the arms. Nobody else likes change. Did you get it? Did you get the joke? The only one that likes change is the baby. We don't like change. And the truth is, Jesus is asking the disciples to change. He says to them, here we are in the boat going to the other side. He's taking them away from their familiar territory, from their home base in Capernaum, and taking them across the sea to the other side, to the side where they don't know, the foreign land, to the land of the Gerasenes, to the land of the Gentiles. He's taking them into foreign territory. And also he's moving them from being fishermen to being disciples. And he's preparing them to welcome a kingdom that's very different from what they were expecting, or, truth be told, from what they really wanted. The change they are facing is real, and it's difficult, and it's inevitable. The one who is asking them to change has mastery over the wind and the sea. The one who is asking them to change is indeed the Holy One of God. Does anyone else fear change? I'm not talking about the change that we anticipate or plan for, like I've graduated and now I'm going to a new school or a new situation. Not that kind of change. And not the kind of change that's unexpected either, the kind of change that is even life-threatening or health-threatening, like when we're undergoing treatment for cancer or to heal a broken bone or a sprained knee. That's a kind of change that happens. But I'm talking about the change that happens when we are encountered by the living God, when we realize that life will never be the same again because we have experienced the presence of God in our lives, because we have experienced a miracle. So what is the miracle that you are experiencing now? Or maybe I'll say it this way. How is God showing up in your life? How is God urging you to change, urging you to go to the other side? Where is God surprising you and inviting you to see God in new and different ways? We might fear encounters with God because we fear being changed, but we can't ignore these encounters with God because that will change us as well. There's no choice about whether we will be changed. It's what kind of change and whether we seek God's help or not. This was a hard week for me, a hard week to write a sermon about miracles. I try faithfully to see God's miraculous presence in all of the situations of the week. I was working really hard, along with Janine and many others, to get ourselves ready to welcome 50 children tomorrow morning for Vacation Bible School. We had teachers and helpers along with that. I'm praying that the experience of this week will be a miracle, that we will indeed see the presence of God in our midst. I've been visiting regularly with Bob Williams, a member of our church, who is now under hospice care in his home. And on Thursday morning, I went and anointed him one more time, as he asked me to. And we prayed for a miracle. Not a miracle for healing. Not for some new medical procedure or medicine to be available. But we prayed for the miracle to experience God's presence. To know with certainty God's presence at this time of transition. To know with sureness God's mercy and love. We prayed for courage and for peace, to accept this change that is inevitable. On Wednesday night, I heard about the shootings at the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. I visited that church many times when I lived in Charleston. It was right around the corner, down a block from the church that I was serving at St. John's. The pastor of that church, who was one of the nine who was killed, was an acquaintance of mine. We started seminary together in Columbia, South Carolina. We didn't graduate together because Clem was not only the youngest state senator in the history of South Carolina, he was elected to the Senate at 25, and that was right when he was starting seminary. He also had just gotten married and had a baby and was going to school full time, being a state senator, plus he was the pastor of a church. So he had plenty to do. It took him a little longer to get through seminary than other people. We read about hate crimes. We read about acts of terrorism and racism and mass shootings. But when it happens to people that you know, in places that you know, it's a new reality. So where's the miracle in this story? How is the presence of God being experienced for the people gathered this morning to worship at Emmanuel AME? Where is the presence of God for black people in America? Where is the presence of God for people who fear gathering to read the Word of God in a Bible study? Where is the presence of God, the miracle of God's presence, in people who are so filled with fear and hatred? Where is the presence of God for the family and the faith community and the young man who committed this terrible deed? Another one of my classmates is a pastor of the church, the Lutheran church, where this young man and his family are members. A member of the Lutheran church created this terrible act, this terrible deed. Where is the miracle in this? What change will this miracle cause? Maybe the miracle will be that our legislators who fear change will face that change and will address those closely linked problems of racism and guns. Maybe the miracle will be the end of mass shootings and acts of terrorism and hatred if we risk going to the other side. As Jesus invited the disciples to go to the other side in Mark's gospel, the other side isn't bad. It's only unknown. It isn't hated. It's just unfamiliar. Are we really willing to change? Are we willing to go to the other side? Are we willing to let the miracle of God's presence in our lives make a difference in our lives and in the world? Jesus called his disciples to cross to the other side, and in doing that, they experienced the miracle of God's presence that caused them to fear, that caused them to face change. Might we also see a miracle and be willing to risk going to the other side to experience the presence of God? Let us pray. Oh God, we know you are in our boat, even when we are experiencing frightening storms. Give us courage to experience your presence and see these miracles as calls to new life of following Jesus and letting God's healing and justice, God's spirit and changes flow through us. Amen.